Thank you, Pastor John. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm so glad to be here with you today. Today, we'll be talking a topic, what is so amazing about grace. One day, I saw an incident on TV. A 12-year-old boy went to a beach to swim. Suddenly, he was swallowed by waves. He cried, "Help! Help!" When someone eventually rescued him, the boy could not breathe, and he did not have heartbeat. The boy was dead. The healthcare professionals gave him CPR. And after a while, eventually the boy revived. And his parents said, "This is a miracle." Dear brothers and sisters, before we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are all dead people. Only God can save us. Only God can give us a life. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 together. "As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin." What is that? Death not only means that our soul separates from our body. Death also means that our soul is separated from God. Genesis 2:16-17 says, let's read together.
"And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'"
Did Adam eat the fruit on the tree? Yes. Did he die physically on that day? No. He still lived for a few hundred years. But when Adam sinned, his soul separated from God. There was a distance between him and God. And there was a wall between him and God. And therefore, Adam hid himself. He didn't want to see God. He had no fellowship with God. Adam died in his transgressions. Today, there are so many people in the world. But we are all living deaths. We do not know who was the true living God. And therefore, many people in this world, they use their hands to make idols to worship. There are many people in the world, they worship the idol in their heart. Money, sex, power. Because they don't know who is the true God. And before we are Christians, we also sin in our flesh. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, "In which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of a sinful nature and following its desires and wants. Like the word, we were by natural objects of rest." Before we are Christians, We not listen to God. We listen to who? We listen to the devil. We allow ourselves to sin against God. There was a 20-year-old woman Christian. She had taken drugs. And she had robbed people. And she had been in jail for 3 times. And this is what she said. She said, when I believe from prison, I will continue to be a gangster. This is a picture of a person who did not know God. She keeps on sinning against God. She keeps on falling her flesh. She keeps on gratifying the craving of her sinful nature. And that's who we were before we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Offense to God.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, God holds rich in mercy.
This Bible tells us that God is rich in mercy. This verse explains that why salvation is all God's grace. Because we are all bad people. We die in our own sins. And bad people cannot save themselves. And bad people cannot make them alive. And bad people have nothing can help themselves. And therefore, salvation is all by God's grace. And I like the name of your church. What's the name of your church?
Grace.
Oh, you all know. That's good. I hope you will never forget it. Your church name is Grace Church. Every time you come to this church, you remember God's grace. You see, in this passage, the word grace appears a few times.
Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 2, verse 5 says, if by grace you have been saved.
And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 says,
in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. And then, verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved.
In other words, salvation is 100% of God and 0% of us. We cannot add a single thing to God's grace. We cannot do anything to earn God's grace. So what is grace? Grace means that God's unmerited favor to his undeserved people. Grace means God's unmerited favor to his undeserved people. We not deserve God's grace. But God give us grace. God give us the grace of salvation. God give us the gift of salvation. You see, a few years ago, I heard that to raise a child from birth until he graduated from high school, do you know how much it costs? It costs $226,000, $920. Well, I think that because of inflation, right now maybe raise a child from birth to high school maybe around $250,000. I believe that some of you are parents. Maybe you have a child who just graduated high school. And would you say to the child, honey, I'm so glad. I'm so happy. You graduated from high school. But do you know that to raise you from birth until now, I have spent almost $250,000. I just wonder, when are you going to pay me back? Well, I think that you may not say this to your child. Because it is a gift. Salvation is God's gift to us. We cannot do anything to earn salvation. And we thank God for that. And you may say, so it is so easy to believe in God and then receive God's grace. The answer is yes. Yes. Because the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to us. So what is salvation? Salvation means that God sent his only son to us and he extends his hand to us. And then by faith, we put our hand to God's hand to receive his gift. And on that moment, that is salvation. Therefore, the Bible tells us that Romans 11 verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no longer by will. Grace would no longer be grace. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself, this is from the gift of God. And we thank God because he gave us the gift of salvation. So how should we respond to God? And how should we live after we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, let's read together. For we are God's workmanship,
created in Christ Jesus to do the work
which God prepared
and planned for us to do.
Yes. Salvation is totally from God. But after we receive God's grace, we need to do good works. So what are the good works we can do? As a parent, when we talk to our children, the good works may be we smile. I always teach parents, when they talk to their children, they smile. Why? Because when they smile, their children feel loved, feel cared. It will warm their heart. Just smile. Just keep on smiling to your children. And your children will love it. And that's good works. So what are good works? Well, as the children, we obey our parents. When our parents tell us to wash the dishes, we should do play games. We should not ignore our parents. We should go to wash the dishes immediately. That's the works. So what are the good works? You come to the church. Well, first, today, when I come to church, I only see few chairs on here. And that's what they did. When I came up here, I see so many chairs. Who put the chairs? Now, some brothers and sisters, they saw their good works. They put the chairs here. They're willing to serve God. They're willing to serve people. That's good works. And you see some people sick? Will we care for them? Can we telephone to them and say a prayer for them? That's good works. The Bible tells us that we are saved by grace, but we need to have good works. works cannot earn salvation. But when we have good works, means that we are grateful to what God has done in our lives. Because of this gratefulness, we have good works. And of course, we have to remember what Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says. Well, whatever you do, this the least of your brothers or mine, you did for me. When we serve others, we serve God. And then in James chapter 2, verse 17, let's read together. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You see, every one of us needs a good testimony to glorify God. And we need to share the gospel. And I love today, Pastor John's children's sermon. I just cannot wait to hear what's the second part of his message. Unfortunately, next week I have to go to another church to preach. Otherwise, I'll come back and say, so when they see the river, what are they going to do? I want to know. Oh, maybe later, Pastor John will tell me the secret. But I just love this mystery. She has the heart for God. Just imagine a single woman in England traveled by boat days and night and then go to China to preach the gospel. It just touched our heart to hear this story. And as Christian, we should also preach the gospel. And you may say, I don't know how to preach the gospel. Now today when I came to your church, I see many books on the table. I would suggest that maybe you borrow one of the books and remember to sign your name and remember to return your book. But just borrow the book and go home and read it. Those are great books for us to have some idea of how to share the gospel to people. Yes. As we are born again Christian, we have the obligation to preach the gospel to the world. And may we remember that freely received, we freely give. We freely receive God's grace. May we also freely share God's grace. May more people come to know Christ because of our good works and because we preach the gospel of Christ. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful grace. Every time when we look at the cross, we may need to say to our heart, grace is so amazing. Grace just beyond our understanding. And we thank you because of your grace that we can be called children of God. And we thank you because of your grace that we can be here today to worship you. And we thank you because of your grace that we can call each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And because of your grace, and we become our family members. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done to us. And we want to give you all the honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.